Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in Dot Zack Building in the Grand Center area, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, so come by, check it out, and pick up some new music. They have a great local selection, as well as all your favorite national acts. And check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away records and different things, and tickets and shows. And so follow along. It pays to support. Also, this year, Music Record Shop is the official record store of Lou Fest. So check it out. If you're over at Lou Fest this year, be sure to visit and say hey and pick up some new records from all your favorite Lou Fest artists. Again, everything at musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is a very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh, yeah. This is the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it.
Hi, this is Will from Money for Guns, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri.
What?
Hanging out with Will Salisbury of Money for Guns.
That's me.
Hey,
how are you?
And welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. I passed the audition, I see.
Yeah, the three-peat. This is your third appearance now.
Like man. Jordan's Bulls, man.
Yeah.
Pippen's Bulls or Bushler's Bulls, sorry. There we go.
Yeah.
There's the list of songs.
That's going back. That's about the last time I watched basketball was
the 90s.
Yeah, it was the those Bulls. Man, those because we had WGN. Man, I watched a lot of Bulls basketball.
Oh yeah, I forgot about WGN.
Yeah, so it was some good times in like middle school. Like I watched a ton of basketball, played a lot of basketball. Was like picking up.
Because you're so short.
Trading cards.
Yeah. How tall are you? 6'4"?
Yeah. And, but yeah, man, that was a lot of fun then. But then it's like, just kind of fizzled out. I just like, after Jordan left, I'm like, oh, it's just not the same anymore. And,
yeah, I'm a hoops junkie, so.
Yeah. I still like watching college ball, but like pro ball just is not exciting for me anymore. It's just, I don't know, it's like a dunk contest every day. You know,
I just love the NBA ever since I was a kid, so I couldn't.
Nobody plays defense, though. That's what
I mean, you know.
You don't have any.
Not till the playoffs.
Right.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to save that energy for June.
People scoring 150 points a game and stuff. And
yeah.
It's crazy. But
you know.
Yeah. But.
It's my first love.
All right. Yeah, it's like. I was watching the thing about
Yeah, Mizzou football game the other day, and then like it was ridiculous scores.
It's like a video game. I don't.
Yeah, and then I was like, did anybody play defense at all that game? Or
like, I don't think so. Yeah. It'd take the Saturday off. Right. You know, Mizzou used to be defensive lineman university, and now it's. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just funny to me. Like that's, when I watch football or, you know, like I said, in basketball too, like I'm more of a defense guy. I loved watching Chicago Bears football for a long time. And, you know, with Urlacher and all these guys, whenever that was all.
Yeah, the mid to
early 2000s. Early aughts.
Yeah.
Of course, it was like they've had a long history of, you know, priding themselves in defense, but.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it just kind of wasn't the same anymore for me.
Nah, I mean, you change the rules. It's more wide open, right. More spread offenses and whatnot. It's not the... Yeah, we can get deep into the problems of the NFL quick.
Oh, so. Yeah. But I think this is the longest I've talked about sports on this show, though.
I do that to people.
Yeah.
I have a problem. Yeah. Sports and Mexican food.
Oh, man, there we go. Now that's a whole other podcast.
Though. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I had some...
Ranking food ethnicities? Oh... What comes after Mexican food? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Thai food? Ugh.
I had friends that went around for a while, like all these different area Mexican restaurants, and each time they would say it was their birthday, and just to like...
Get the sombrero?
Yeah, well, just to see who had the best birthday celebrations and stuff, like, you know... Oh,
that'd be a good article. That'd be a good feast article.
Yeah, right like between... you know, like dessert and like the singing and everything, you know, all the different whatever they did at their restaurant. Mm-hmm. So it was, I was like, man, that's a pretty good idea. Like, let alone you get, you know, maybe some deep fried ice cream out of it or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So that'd be fun just to see who.
There's a the place. What's the place right on Watson near Filer? I forget what it's called, but they have the three guys come around with the sombreros and the guitars and play. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I went on a date there in, like, 2006, before I met my wife. And this girl asked him to come over and sing at the table. It was awkward, but, you know, it was kind of cool. But,
right.
Yeah.
Was... Like a mariachi style?
Yes, mariachi, that's the word. Yeah, I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, halfway through my third bowl of free chips, and it was, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, those, man, those dates, yeah, you gotta watch yourself, man. You gotta, like, just fill up on the chips,
man. So, okay, let's say... Pizza or loaded nachos? What do you pick? If they're both on a table and you're hungry.
Oh, man.
And you can only take one. Pizza or loaded nachos?
Well, I'm gonna go... man, it's tough.
I know, right?
Well, see, like... I feel like I don't have to go nachos because, like, I love pizza and I eat it all the time. And it's probably my, you know, my favorite. But... That's the kind of thing, like, if nachos are kind of more of a rarity for me, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah? Okay.
You know, I love them, but it's like, you know, I can't just go, I mean, there's different levels, I guess. You know, you can go to the Quick Trip or whatever and you can get the cheese dip or
that's not
nacho, but...
We're know, talking
yeah,
like real...
Like ballpark kind of thing or whatever, where you get the... But so
we're talking.
I don't get that as often as I get pizza, so I have to probably go nachos then.
Yeah, me too. We're in agreement. Yeah. I love pizza. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
but come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, So that's always a good question.
Sure, man. Yeah, this is the tough issues, man.
I mean, there's things in life you have to deal with.
Right.
Pizza or nachos.
Yep. Mm. We're not here just to talk about pizza and nachos. We do have. Some business to take care of.
That's right.
You guys have been busy. We've recorded a new EP since we last spoke.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this, man. You guys went to friend of the show Gaslight over here on the hill. And
yep. Worked with Mark.
Yeah.
Great dude. Very chill guy. Very laid back atmosphere. We worked fast and quick and got an entire EP recorded in one night.
Wow.
And then mixed it. Six songs, about 20 minutes of music, and then mixed it. I went in a couple weeks later after we took a bunch of notes, mixed it, and it was done and ready to go. So, yeah.
Yeah. Titled Another Season in Hell, the Gaslight Sessions. Where's that title?
So, Kyle, co-songwriter, well, we all write the songs together, but he's the only other guy that sings in the band. He doesn't sing on this one. Him or Todd don't either, but we have an obsession with Eddie and the Cruisers and Eddie and the Cruisers 2, Eddie Lives, the two greatest films ever made, followed by anything with Russell Crowe in it. But so there's a, if you haven't seen Eddie and the Cruisers, you gotta, you just trust me, it is amazing. It's like a Stallone version of a music movie where it's utterly ridiculous, but it's like watching Cobra. You just keep going back and watching it over and over. So Eddie Wilson, his record company won't let him release his masterpiece called Season in Hell. And that's what the whole duo of movies is about, like the way he deals with that. And so we call this one another Season in Hell, the Gaslight Sessions. And on the inside of the artwork, there's actually a screen capture from the movie. So the next one's called Another Season in Hell, The Subterranean Sessions, is the next EP we're doing. And then we're doing a full-out three-part metal opera we're going to do on the EP after that. And then we'll do a live EP that's also Another Season in Hell. So, and then maybe have an Eddie and the Cruisers festival of some nature somewhere. But that's where it comes from. We like Eddie and the Cruisers way too much. So Michael Paré, who plays Eddie Wilson, is maybe one of the five greatest thespians to ever live. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen it, but
oh my god!
After a sales pitch like that,
it's so well. In the first one, has like Alan Barkin and Tom Berenger, one of the dudes from The Sopranos. It's yeah. The second one has Larry King and Bo Diddley in it. Like it's insane. Yeah. Like the A-list they get in it, and it's yeah.
Bo Diddley's man.
Oh yeah, man. He's in the second one.
It's, yeah. I listened to a lot of that. My parents, had a bunch of different music I was listening to, but I do recall listening to a lot of Bo Diddley greatest hits. Like, and then of course, you know, as I get older, you realize like, George Thorogood and all these guys that were like heavily influenced by, Bo Diddley,
yeah.
And like even Who Do You Love, like did his own cover on it and stuff like that. You know, this is like. So it was cool, man. But yeah, I'll have to check it out. See,
Eddie and the Cruisers, and then Eddie and the Cruisers 2, Eddie Lives. So I'm kind of giving away what happens at the beginning of the first one. But it's so the last time I was in Colombia for two nights, because we were working on writing songs for our next EP, the Subterranean Sessions. So Kyle and I drank what's called Crystal Palace Vodka. It's a handle for about $9, so that's how good it is. Right. It's, like, below the bottom shelf.
Because you guys got that kind of money?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm throwing around Lincolns. And so we drank a bunch of Crystal Palace vodka and watched Eddie and the Cruisers. And the next night, I had the double feature on Blu-ray, and we had to watch it the next night. And, Kyle's wife, Megan, wasn't very happy with us, but, you know, it had to be done. It's for the sake of music. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right. But, yeah, this... like I said, we record Gaslight, great little spot here in town for re-recording needs, so check them out if you haven't done so. They got a lot of cool events coming up and things.
Yeah, we got, so our next thing, we're throwing an all-day music festival outside of Columbia, a little place called Cooper's Landing Marina. It's right on the river, like literally, it's you turn and you can toss a rock into the Missouri River. Us and a bunch of great bands. It'll be us, the Ridge Runners, Monte Carlos, their songwriter's Lou Nevins, and he's not one of my favorite, like, friends the songwriter or, like, local songwriter. He's one of my favorite songwriters ever. He's just so incredibly good and unique. So the Monte Carlos, he's another band called Sissy Paycheck. He was in a band called Malone, and he's just one of the... All of his work's online somewhere. His name's Lou Nevins. Look up the band Malone. So they'll be playing with us. Saint Gnome, another awesome band. The Ridge Runners, River Ghost Review, it's
Bernie Sisters.
The Bernie Sisters. Oh, they're opening up. So they're like two, like 10 or 11 year old girls who play shows all the time, and they're amazing. They're awesome, and they're going to come and open it up for us because it's an all day festival outside. It's free of charge to come, and so we wanted to have a local, some really cool kids to come play. Anything we do to help out kids, and they'll have fun, and they'll bring a bunch of folks, and yeah, so come, it starts at 1 o'clock and goes till about 9, it's going to be an all-day thing right on the river, that's a couple weeks from this Saturday.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that, and then the next thing we have after that is at the Duck Room, we're doing our second annual Halloween costume party with the Foundry Field Recordings with Dragon Billy Shoe and the folks out of retirement. If you remember the Foundry Field Recordings in the mid to late 2000s, whatever, is that what you call it? It's going to be awesome. And the Proper Villains, my buddy Steve Nations, is bringing his band out of retirement as well. So it's going to be a crazy, crazy fun night. So a couple big months coming up. Then we'll record an EP in there and have our annual drive for the homeless. A lot of annual things. It'll be our like sixth annual Unplugged for the Holidays homeless benefit at Arena Bar. And yeah, so a few chances to see Money for Guns this fall.
Yeah.
Slash winter.
Like we said, we mentioned the EP, and you wanted to share We Don't Stand a Chance from the EP, Gaslight Sessions. There, any guiding stories around this one? You said you tell me a story about writing it.
Oh yeah, we'll plug this one in. This one I can't play acoustically. It's too. It's the entire time I'm singing. It's just right. Bass line. But We Don't Stand a Chance. Yeah, we wrote that. So I woke up a Wednesday in November after the presidential election. And I got to work, and I was a little bummed out, just a little in shock, like a lot of folks were. Whichever side you were on, you were a little in shock, like, oh, that just happened. And so wrote a song called We Don't Stand a Chance, and we were in, I was in my morning team meeting, and I was sitting there not paying attention. None of us really were. We were just kind of lamenting the events of the previous evening. And I couldn't, my friend Sam, who was in my, on my team at the time, a great, great person, love her to death, but she was scared because her and her fiance were about to get married, and she was very worried for obvious reasons, like I might not be able to get married to my wife. And she was just, I don't know, kind of freaking out, and my, and the other person in our pod, Steph, said, well, just hold tight, because it's going to be a while. And I was like, oh, that's great. So the chorus came out of that, and I was able to finish the song basically by 11 a.m. that morning. Very hopeful tune called We Don't Stand a Chance about where we are now.
Smoke is sudden, wind for to clear. We set the blackbird free, my dear. There's a chance I can keep her on until the end of this, but my legs are tired and my head wants to quit. The last green in my eyes, can't focus, and I wanna see what was left of us. You don't look quite like you used to, and I'm feeling less and less brand new. Yesterday, no, I'm keeping it all in. Checking out, and the rooms are empty. The lights falling out. And it is an empty, it's full of black. And there's no road to turn back. Yes, I grab hold and hold tight. Cause the day is long, it only turns back tonight. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's rather prophetic, so that's kind of scary, but I think I'll enjoy that when it's the hit.
Yeah.
It's got hundreds of listens at this point.
Yeah, man. Available on Spotify, but they do have physical copies with you. So come out to a show. We'll gladly sell you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, just whatever. Throw a little money in the box. Take it. Share it on. Yeah. I just want people to hear them. I mean, we're not ever going to turn this, you know, band into the Black. So just take it. Let your friends listen to it. Steal it, rip it, I don't care, whatever. Napster still a thing? I don't know. LimeWire, get it on LimeWire, and then maybe share it on AOL or Friendster,
right?
And get it to, those are all the hip things?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, that's AOL all the kids are talking about.
And Friendster, yes.
Yep.
It's in my top 8 on MySpace. Right. I think so.
Yeah, man. Have you been back to MySpace at all recently?
No, is it still?
It's like, because I guess like after Facebook became what it is, like I don't know. I think like
they were neck and neck for a while. Yeah. I think about it, and they just whoa.
Well, I think like there was some story. I don't know if it was, but it said something like Justin Timberlake bought
MySpace.
Oh,
yeah. What?
And then kind of like turned it into like a was going to make it more of like a music platform type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, anyway, like, if you go there, like, all the music's still there. Like, if you go to any of the band pages and stuff, like, you can still listen to music, which is cool because, like, I went back and I looked up some of my friends' high school bands.
Oh, yeah?
And, like, and so all those, you know, tracks are still on there that they...
Wow.
So, like, those kind
of... Yeah, our old band, the Frustrated Bachelors, had a page on there.
Yeah.
So ooh, Justin kinda... Timberlake, and nobody bats 1,000.
Oh, well, yeah, but, like, after... But, like, so you can get to the music, but, like... The site is so, like, dysfunctional. Like, it's, like, I mean, if you thought it was, like, rough then, like, it's, I don't know how it's this bad today. I mean, like, we have modern, I mean, I don't know anything about websites, but my website runs way better than
MySpace.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like,
nice.
I don't get how it can be that bad, but.
What was that thing you could do? You, like, put your own background on or something? Yeah, that was, like, the big thing. Scan, what did they call it? I forget. Oh, yeah, that was, oh, my God.
Right.
College.
Whew. Yeah. But that was kind of the thing. Like, I guess, like, once they made Facebook, like, public, you know, like, it was for a while, it was, like, only college email addresses or whatever. Kind of.
Yeah,
was kind of
that's right.
And then once they made it open up for everybody, that's when it, like, blew up. And so, and then.
The Van Winkle twins, what are they called? Not Van Winkle.
Yeah,
Vanderhall?
Yeah.
I don't know. Army Hammer from the movie. His name's Army Hammer.
Yeah.
Like, really? That's fantastic.
Don't worry.
I'm Navy Screwdriver. Like, what are you? I don't understand.
Yeah. There's a bunch of funny names, man.
There is.
Yeah. There's this kid from my high school. His name was Marty Party. And I was like, man, that's such a great name. Like, so
I had this, I was a CA for a summer at Mizzou. And the guy who played piano on, On the Edge of Light, our last full-length record, Austin. So we had this guy, and he was an exchange student from China, and his father filled out his paperwork wrong, so his name officially at Mizzou was Ronald. It's officially, he was like the funniest dude ever. He was fantastic, super smart. But I was like, because I'm a CA, and I'm like, hey, are you... Ronald? He's like, no! And he, like, yelled at me. He was super pissed at his dad. Or mad at his dad, sorry. But then for the next 3 years, we just called him Ronald. But,
yeah.
God, I forgot about Ronald.
I wonder what he's up to, the dude.
I don't know. He's probably making six figures doing something.
Hey, shout out to Ronald. If you're listening to this.
You can contact Shane Presley and sponsor the podcast.
This one's for you, buddy.
This one's for Ronald. Yep. I think they tried to get him to host a talk show at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that
was a deep cut.
You should host a talk show if your name's Ronald.
That's true.
Like, that's yeah. It's like peanut butter and jelly, man. They go together.
That's right. Lamb and tuna fish. Yeah. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
This whole episode happens. Every time we talk, this kind of happens. It goes off the rails
because
I have no attention.
That's how we like to keep it fresh, you know? Well, you do have your guitar.
I do. My Martin.
I wanted you to jam a couple for us today.
Should back up. That was the chair back. Oh, man. Up. I know. Here in my palatial basement.
But you, this is also, you wanted to share a tune that you're going to play live. This is also appears on the Gaslight Sessions, Another Season in Hell EP.
Yes. Yeah, so the first track off the record, so you can find it on Spotify, wherever, Apple Music, it's wherever fine music is sold. So we wrote this one, basically, there's sort of a, as I tune here for you, there's a theme with all of our music. It's kind of this, that if you grew up here, you kind of know that Midwestern existence, that sort of landlocked destitute you can feel sometime. And I grew up in a little rural town from second grade to 10th grade called Lone Dell, Missouri. Still more cows than people. And it's that feeling you get sometimes when you kind of feel trapped and you're young and it just seems sort of like everything's happening to you and around you and you don't really have control over anything. So it's kind of these two people, Eddie and Grace, and they just kind of decide to take matters into their own hands and wreak havoc on the town of Paris, Missouri, up in northeast Missouri. So this is called A Pistol and Some Dreams.
Much to see, just another skinny kid from East Missouri, but he's got a pistol and he's got some dreams. He said, no sir, you're gonna listen to me. Chris was born silent with the aching in the chest, no dad, his little girl and a mother's big mess, wrapped in the cold, cruel arms of the Midwest. They let the TV shows teach her how to dress, that first drunken stumble across Highway 15 in the headlights. She looked like a disaster in his dreams, a drugstore ring wrapped on the passenger side. He rolled down the window, she said, do you want me to ride? Stained hands traced each other's scars, too broken, nobody's destined for a squat car. She said, Eddie, grab your step, Dad's 38, I got a black thought and it's taking shape. Let's get up past the boys on McMurray Boulevard with the headlights, they can't drown out the stars. I'm done living through the television. It's a good town for a bad decision. Eddie gave her everything, all she ever wanted was more. Yeah, you killed the lights and now burned the place. He knew he had to from that look upon her face. A loud town, tired and lonely, and it's born to end, and it's up to me. Yeah, cause Eddie wasn't much to see. Just another skinny kid from East Missouri, but he's got a pistol and he's got some dreams. He said, no, sir, you're gonna listen to me.
Yeah, it's kind of about burning down a gas station. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Burning down a Casey's, which is tragic because the taco pizza is out of this world.
Man, don't even get me started on taco pizza.
Is it pizza?
It's delicious, that's all I know.
I know, thank you. What are we doing? Back to pizza, sorry.
Casey's pizza, man. Like for a gas station pizza, I don't know that it gets any finer than Casey's
pizza. It's not even a competition.
It's pretty awesome stuff.
Casey's in the field.
Yeah, man. I love that kind of stuff, though, like those kind of storytelling songs like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they're,
big grandiose songs are fun to write too, but it's also I like to just take like one evening or one kind of night and just turn that into a tune as well. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Is that you said that that town Lonedale?
Lonedale's where I grew up, yeah.
And is that like on the Welcome to Lonedale, where there are more cows than people? Is that like
There's not a sign. It's just like 12 font on a little piece of green. You take Highway 30 out past Dittmer and past Otto. Is it Otto? I forget the old town is. No, past Dittmer, and it's a speck. But it's where I lived for, 10 years, my formative years, where Dave Burke plays guitar and bass, my best friend, best man at my wedding. We went to grade school from there. We met in second grade in Miss Schott's class, and so that came out of it. But yeah, more cows than people. Still,
that should that's
no stoplights.
That should be like a bumper sticker or something.
Should be. Yeah. Lonedale Mo, go Bobcats.
Yeah. Shout out to Miss Schott. if she's listening to this,
I'm sure she is. She's somewhere fighting the good fight, teaching poor rural kids how to, I don't know, do touch points, phonics, whatever we did in second grade. I don't remember.
Yeah,
it was the Bush administration, the first one. It was crazy times.
Yeah. Did you catch that Wet Hot American Summer?
I did not.
10 years.
I never caught that train. It looks hilarious.
Did you watch the movie?
No.
No?
I saw like part of it had Chris Maloney, Stabler from SVU, and he humped a fridge.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Well, the movie's really great. I don't know. Like, so many, they were pretty well unknown at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they all were working, like, now they're all...
They're all A-listers, like, right? Yeah, like, Cooper, Amy Poehler.
Yeah, Michael Ian Black, Michael Showalter, like, all these guys who were the state and stuff, and, like, all this stuff, like, but...
So the state, the crazy thing, Joe Stulz, who owns Planet Score Records here in Maplewood, his brother wrote a book about the state. Corey Stulz was out in San Francisco. They came here, did a bunch of signings, so shout out to the Stulz brothers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, so the movie originally, like, you know, took off. It was kind of a, you know, Paul Rudd was also in there stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, that kind of helped make their career, you know, like, it helped kind of launch a lot of their start. But anyway, the movie went out and then, like, didn't really do, like, huge, like, kind of a cult classic for a long time kind of thing. And then they decided to do, like, a Netflix series, I guess, last year. And it was kind of just funny because they, like, still played, like, 20-year-old camp counselors, okay, like, even though they're all, like, 40 years old now.
Yeah.
So, like, it was really funny that they were, like, still, like, acting like that. And then, like, they just did another series, like, another 7-8 episodes or whatever, mini, but 10-year reunion.
Okay.
So now it's, like, set into the 90s.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And they, so they're all coming back to their 10-year summer camp reunion thing or whatever.
And nice.
It was kind of funny. It wasn't, like, there was some good moments in it. Mm-hmm. I just watched, like, first 4 or 5 episodes. I forget how many I watched. But anyway, there's a funny... What made me think of all this, though, is because there's a part of that they wrote into the new series, the 10 years later. Michael Showalter is Reagan, and Michael Ian Black does President Bush impression. So, like, and then... Reagan, like, buys the summer, just trying to buy the camp to blow it up or something like that.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It was a weird sub storyline going on in there, but like
a lot of ins and outs.
Yeah.
What have you.
But it was just really funny to see these guys doing these old president impressions. Like, and of course it's the 90s. So President Bush is in office. So like, he's like in the White House and like, he's doing that impression of him. And so anyway, it was just really silly.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. Wife and I need something new to listen to or watch.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's worth watching. There's some funny... And Stabler, like you said, Chris Maloney, he's in there.
Stabler? Yeah. We just call him Stabler.
Yeah, he's on... I mean, that was the role of his life, man. That was... I love SVU.
That's right.
But
who's he going to rough up this episode?
Yeah, right.
This can't be legal, but he seemed to, IA would come around every once in a while.
Yeah, he plays, well, in the original movie, he was the
camp, cook, right?
The camp cook and stuff, so, yeah. He would always say, like, there's some of my favorite lines, where he would be like, you know, he'd always say something, like, super inappropriate, and then, like, walk away kind of thing, and, like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go spread some mud on my ass. What'd you say? I said, you know, like, you know, it was, stuff like that. Like, it would always crack me up.
So I'll have to watch the new one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend watching the movie first.
Okay.
Because otherwise you won't know the jokes, because there's a lot of, like, well, you have to know the characters to really get a lot of the jokes in the new series and stuff. So
right on. The movie's on Netflix, right?
I'm sure it is.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere. But yeah, anyway.
If Amy Poehler's in it, I'm in.
So, yeah, Amy's...
Since the Upright Citizens Brigade.
And that's, like I said, all that stuff, like, you know, you'll laugh because you'll see so many people that you, like, you know, didn't, you know, it's one of those movies that there's so many faces that you'll recognize. So.
Nice.
Yeah, man. But anyway.
Hot take, Netflix, Wet Hot American Summer.
There it is. That's my...
that's what we do here.
That's my endorsement.
Nice.
That was a long way to get to some stupid thing that popped in my head because you said George Bush. So
I mean,
there it is, man.
It's podcast. It's long form.
Right.
People want to get to know you, want to get to know me. That's what we do.
Right. Nice. Well, you said you want to throw one more in here?
Oh, sure.
You said we were talking about maybe going old school.
I'm
going
to go old school.
Throwing it back a little bit.
So we put out 4 records now. Holy cow. The 5th one will be out, and then the 6th one. Oh, man. So we can go really old school. So we put out American Trash in 2011, recorded the Mansion Studios in Columbia, Missouri, and it was a lot of work, a real labor of love. It's probably the one that took the most to do. I wrote this song called, we'll do this one. It's the one most requested and screamed at us on stage. Which is odd. It's called The Midwest Harmonium, and it was about, before I moved to Lowndell, Missouri, I lived off Compton in Miami, across from, was it Pontiac Park? I forget, little park there. So basically a block from Cherokee on Compton. And it was like a Vietnamese neighborhood when I was a kid. And I remember coming back, I hadn't really been there until I moved back to St. Louis in like 06. So I was 24, 25 years old, and just wrote this song about that kind of area. And it's called, just like the drugs and the crime. It's called The Midwest Harmonium. So I'll try this one.
All right.
Selling cocaine down on the corner, says I got what you need and you know you really want it. $5 more and the first bump is free. I give you $5 more, you be taking it down for me. I give you $5 more, you be taking every down for me. Was buried deep in a chest. She said, I'm going out east where the candy's the best. Yeah, but he's got $50 and a Colt 45. Oh, yeah, he's got $50 and she ain't coming home alive. Oh, yeah, he's got $50 and she ain't coming home alive. Sound or the shiver or the shake, I can't dance to the noise or the rhythm or the break. You're coming downtown, raising all that sound. You give me $5 more and I won't leave you all alone. I give her $5 more and she won't leave me all alone. Just waiting for the pills to kick in. He's got a brain full of whiskey and a gut full of gin. He said, I got $50 and a Colt 45. Oh yeah, he's got $50 and she ain't coming home alive. Oh yeah, he's got $50 and she ain't coming home alive. $50 and she ain't coming home alive.
So they're jaunty, upbeat tune.
Yeah.
We do have happy songs that make you shake your ass if you come out. We have some ass shaker here, sorry.
You can feel free to say...
Okay, is that the explicit tag on iTunes?
Yep.
Or, you know, wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. So, yeah, there are some fun ones you can come out and dance to.
Sure. With,
yeah.
Yeah, man, that sounded
falls
great.
Falls in the air. It's, yeah. You know, it's a dark time.
Right.
I don't know. Which podcast number is this? 455,000?
Yeah. Yeah, 455,000. Yeah.
So, what everyone in podcast world wants to know is, do you sleep? When do you sleep?
What? What's that?
You just hang upside down at night and just wait for the next podcast?
No, I don't know, man. I tend to go hard like all week and then just like crash on a Sunday and and then sleep for, you know, take like a short coma. And
your wife slaps you awake.
All right.
Makes you fix stuff.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But I don't know. It's part of the hustle is part of the fun of it, man. Like, you know, I enjoy it. I think if I weren't doing this and if I was just alone with my thoughts, like it'd be a pretty scary place. So
well, I hear you, brother.
Yeah. So
let's say you're driving home. You've done 3 podcasts. You're dead tired. You got to drive from the city back out to where you live. What is your rocking out, staying awake go-to? What are you blasting on the way home to keep you awake? You don't have to say somebody local. If it's, you know, if it's, I don't know, Billy Ocean, that's fine. Kyle loves Billy Ocean.
Yeah.
What is it? What's your...
Out of my dream.
Get in the backseat, baby.
I don't know. Well, so, like, when I'm driving a lot, I listen to a lot of Howard Stern.
Okay.
But, you know, you can't really blast and rock out to Howard Stern. So to answer your question properly, I do listen to a lot of 90s on 9 in my car also.
Okay.
So I do I don't know.
What are you listening to?
That's a good one, man.
Everclear listening to What Are We Doing?
I do that
Sorry, I can't play much longer. We'll get it taken away. That was Bush. That's all I got.
That Everclear, So Much for the Afterglow, man. That's a great record.
That is a fantastic record. Yeah. I love that record. I don't care what anyone says. It is the production on that, his use of the studio,
for sure,
is insane.
That's one of my favorite records of all time, man.
F and A, dude. Yeah. He's there's his autograph right there.
Yeah.
All right, Alexakis, man. He's on my wall.
Yeah, man. I love all. I'm just a sucker for all that '90s. Ace of Base and Technotronic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have went through 75 bands before I got to Ace of Base that you like.
It's like it's definitely like the guilty pleasure kind of thing. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Mine's Crack Your Review by Hootie and the Blowfish.
There you go.
I like the Goo Goo Dolls. Johnny Resnick can write a hook.
Yeah, I mean, man. I love all that stuff. I'm a sucker for all that '90s pop like stuff. Like, it's just it was fun, man. But it's also like, you know, it's a sense of nostalgia to it.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it's just stuff I grew up listening to all the time. And I mean, you know, you the Sign or
The
you know,
Sign by Ace of Base.
That she wants. Here's another baby.
That's fantastic.
You probably didn't know I was going to sing that.
I mean, you're like an onion. Just keep peeling away these layers. I like that. You know, Marcy Playground comes on. That one song.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, man, so I've been also along with watching the Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix. I also went back and started over watching How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
So I'm like into season 3 now, something like
Isn't
that.
Like 40 of them? How long
I think so. Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure 40 seasons of that show. And but there was a great line, and I recorded it and put it on Instagram or something, but it made me laugh really hard. So Ted says something to Barney. He's like, man, you were stuck in my head like a Chumbawamba song. And Marshall said, which one? Which Chumbawamba song? It was such a great line, like, because of course they're only known for tub thumping. So.
That's true. According to Adam Carolla, a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
Apparently. Oh, yeah. But that was a catchy tune. I mean, right. Come on now.
Sure. I mean, you get knocked down.
You gotta get up again.
Yeah.
What do you do? Stay down?
Right.
No, that's not the American way.
Nope. Those, yeah, they're like German or something, weren't they? Or something, some European, I believe.
Some sort of European.
Something like that.
I don't know, yeah. Kyle finally texts us back whether or not he was going to call in. Let's see what he says. His lazy. Shit, totally missed this message. How'd it go? Going well, Kyle. That's what I deal with.
Did he,
Remember he called in on the last one?
Yeah. I was making sure it was Kyle.
Yep, still Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was fun. I don't have a lot of call in, so
I know. So I was like hoping to get him to call in, but he's probably busy. You know, he's got two kids, so he's busy. Whatever.
All right.
He's got to teach him how to read. I mean, come on. What are we sending him to school for?
You know? All right.
Just let that go. But anyway, yeah. Sorry. So 90s on 9. That's your go to. I like it,
dude. Yeah, man. I love that stuff. Another
Everclear lover. There's so few of us.
But I do, and I mean, I love it all, though. I'm like, you know, I listen to a ton of, I have Sirius Satellite, so I listen to a lot of, like, classic vinyl on there also. I love all that stuff as well, all the, you know, just 70s classic rock, man. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird, you know, that's pretty much, I bounce between those a lot, and like I said, Stern, but I do listen to a lot of podcasts also. Those are kind of, it's like, I'm listening to more of the talk stuff when I'm kind of winding down, like after a show when I've already listened to music for 4 or 5 hours and I need to just kind of chill on the way home. And
that's my, I drive back and forth to Columbia a lot for work and for music, and I listen to a lot of Revisionist History, Malcolm Gladwell's podcast or Carolla's podcast, Bill Simmons, like just, it's, because you listen to a conversation for 2 hours and you're there, so that's...
Sure.
Yeah, thank God for podcasts.
But yeah, when I'm driving home from Oyster Bar and it's 3 a.m. and I've got to try to stay awake to get home, and you know, I'll definitely blast that 90s on 9 and start a dance party in the car.
Nice. So. Oh, you got to follow you on Instagram. I'm talking to people out there. It's, the thing you do with the faces, I don't know how to use the filters on the phone where you make your face look all crazy.
That's a lot of Snapchat filters.
Yeah, so, see, I don't know. Like, snap faces or like, I don't. I tried to do it one time because my buddy's ex-wife told me to, and I'm like trying. I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, well, I had the app, and then I was like, is this stupid? And I deleted it, and then I went back, and I've been having a lot of fun with it just because, like, all I do is put a stupid, you know, filter on my face and sing songs in the car.
It's pretty awesome.
I think the last one I posted, I was singing Ghetto Superstar from
everyone knows.
Yeah.
It's what you are.
Proz and ODB.
Right? ODB.
ODB. No, he's not on that. Was it
Method Man? No.
Maya sings the hook.
Someone listening to this is screaming the answer.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm having a brain fart.
It happens. But everyone knows. Get a superstar. Yeah.
Islands in the Stream.
Islands in the Street, that's true, with Kenny and Dolly.
Yep. That's where the sample's from.
I never realized that till just now.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's fantastic. Oh, wow. The gambler himself.
Yeah, man.
He hasn't had any work done.
You gotta know when to hold him, you know?
I've never known when to fold him.
Yeah.
I just run into that, like,
Wile
E. Coyote, tunnel painted on the wall.
You ever get into Mad TV stuff when Will Sasso was... would do that Kenny Rogers impression on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so funny. Like, it just made Kenny look like a big idiot. Like, the whole, like, you know, that's Will Sasso's impression of it, and it made me laugh so.
You've seen the Kenny Rogers roaster episode of Seinfeld, haven't you?
I don't think so.
Oh, God, it's so good. Newman wouldn't eat broccoli if it was deep fried in chocolate sauce. Yeah, it's a great episode.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, okay, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if we've, I think we got about everything off the checklist. 90s on 9.
Netflix.
Everclear.
I can talk about Everclear all night.
What's your, is that your favorite record then? So Much for Afterglow?
My favorite Everclear record? It's that or Sparkle and Fade. Yeah. But Afterglow is just like, Sparkle and Fade's a little more raw. I like it a lot. But So Much for Afterglow is, I think that was the height of his creative powers. He's kind of started repeating himself at times after that, but I think that record was the first record where he had the money and the time to make his entire vision. Because I know Sparkle and Fade was, they were not popular yet, and that was their first, that was their hit. And I think Afterglow was when he had time and money to use the studio and more of like a Fleetwood Mac sort of Lindsey Buckingham, I'm going to do everything I can do, and to use the studio as an instrument, which I've never been good at. And I think that's, I love both of those records, and I love the Songs for American Movie record, but that So Much for Afterglow, I think, is just their best. If I was going to give anyone who wanted to hear that band, that'd be the record I'd give them to listen to. So,
yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, obviously the hits, you know, there were a bunch of hits on that record, but I love, like, you know, White Men in Black Suits.
That's a great
stuff. I mean, just like all, like the whole record, right? You know, they're all, the deeper cuts on that album are still great songs.
They all have hooks. They all have great, it's very well written. He hadn't started repeating himself yet. I've met him twice. Super nice dude. One time he yelled at me from stage, but then he apologized to me after the show. My buddy Jay Meyer, who I haven't seen, and I played wiffle ball with him like 2 months ago. So I'm in the gargoyle. Remember the gargoyle at Wash U? It was like downstairs. He was doing an acoustic show. And I'm in the front row, and I'm like, this is the first time I've seen art. He's the, one of the guys who made me want to be a songwriter. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, holy cow, this is amazing. And Jay is like 4 or 5 beers in, and he like grabs me by the shoulder. He's like, what's the name of the song? And he's like saying lyrics to me. And like, I turn around to like tell him something, and I just hear, hey, you in the front row. And I was like, oh, shit. He's like, if you're in the front row at a small show, shut the fuck up. And I was like, I'm sorry. And after the show, he apologized to me, and I was like, ah, and I'm like, yeah, I had it coming. And, but then I met him. He played a couple years ago at the Duck Room and talked to him there. He signed a bunch of stuff. Just a real sweetheart of a dude. And,
Yeah, I've never seen him live or him or Everclear or anything, but like, I mean, that'd be fun, man. I wish, I do recall the Blueberry Hill, but I guess couldn't make it that night or something. Whatever was going on, but hopefully next time I can catch the show.
In college, when they were still the original lineup, I saw them at the Kiel Center. Lifehouse opened, which we showed up late for that, and then Everclear played, and then Matchbox 20 played, and we left like 4 songs into Matchbox 20 and drove back to Columbia. And Dave got pulled over for the first time in his life, and he started pulling over to the left side of the highway. I'm like, dude, get the fuck over to the right. He's like, I don't know. Yeah, sorry. I'm going super deep on Everclear talk now. We gotta clip this off and send it to Art. He's going to love it.
Yeah.
We're going to take this segment, and then next thing you know, we're opening for Art.
Pretty much. I mean, that's how it works.
I think so, right?
You talk about it on Rock Paper Podcast, and then boom.
If you will it, it is no dream. Yeah.
Speaking of Matchbox 20, that was my first show.
Is that the first time that phrase has been uttered on this show? Speaking of Matchbox 20?
Probably not.
Your first show was Matchbox 20? Mine was Taylor Dane, but...
The first show I can recall asking my mom to buy me tickets to...
Nice.
It was 97.
Yourself or someone like you had just come out.
And it was huge. And that's another record, like, every song was a single on that album. But yeah, I went as Matchbox 20, Semisonic, and Soul Asylum.
That is a lineup. Semisonic and Soul Asylum? Yeah, hell yeah.
It was a good show, man.
Was Soul Asylum was Runaway Train, right?
Right, that was the big hit for me.
Collective Soul was the other band.
Yeah.
There was Soul Asylum and Soul Asylum, yeah.
Sure.
Ooh, that'd be a cover band Matt Basler would probably do, Collective Soul Asylum. Seems like something he'd come up with. Yeah. Ooh, called it. There Sorry, Matt.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that it was fun, man. I mean, I had a good time. And
where was that show at? That had to be like was at Kiel or something.
Yeah, Kiel or Scott Trade or whatever, you want to call it. But yeah, that was a good time. So that was the first one. I'm sure my parents probably took me to stuff before that, but
I remember in second grade I was at Rendezvous 90 for God, I was in second grade 1990. Half the people at my work weren't even born yet. It was like a Boy Scout, Cub Scout overnight thing at Forest Park, and we saw Taylor Dane play. But the first concert I remember like being conscious of, like, oh, I know who this is, was at St. Louis Blues Festival, and it was in Valley Park, and Jerry Lee Lewis closed. And that was amazing. He was still, like, skinny and thin. This was, like, 90, I want to say, 4 or 96, somewhere in there. And he killed it, and that was amazing. But, yeah. The Killer's still doing it, man.
Isn't Taylor Dane, though, isn't that like a, what it was like a...
She had a hit. I don't remember. You know what I mean? I don't know why she was at a Boy Scout event. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know who her agent was at the time. Was but like, nah, you'll play for a bunch of 12-year-old boys. I mean, well, think about
this.
It.
I got you booked at a Boy Scout event. Like,
no, stay with me. Yeah. That had to be a hell of a pay. It was right. The Muni.
I think it was like a Will Ferrell reference or something like in something, you know, my... I don't know. I think there is something like that. There's something. I don't know why that name's sticking out, but
Taylor Dane.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was a Letters to Cleo. That's who Tom Stephan likes, I think.
And I do know. I think it was or maybe I'm mixing. There also that Will Ferrell line. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But is my Crystal Gale shirt?
Yeah, I ruined my Crystal Gale shirt.
Yeah.
So he has the Fruit Loops taped to the bottom of his dad's car. Wow. Yeah. Ricky Bobby. Talladega Nights, that's what it's called.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. We're getting deep on this one. Yeah. Shane's getting tired.
But, yeah, get involved. Check out Money for Guns on all your social media and all your wherever you're buying your music.
When you Google us, make sure after the words Money for Guns, you type the word band.
Yeah.
Or a bunch of weird shit out of Seattle comes up about cops buying guns back from people. Which, you know, hey, if it works, I don't know what the crime rate is in Seattle. But, yeah, Money for Guns band, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, Friendster, MySpace, LimeWire.
Oh, yeah, all of them.
All of them. The suite of music sites.
And again, we got some shows again in Columbia area. You can come out there for the Columbia Rock and Roll River Festival on Cooper's Landing.
Yep, Cooper's Landing, 9/23. It's a Saturday. Yeah, and then 10/27 at the Duck Room.
Blueberry Hill, right here in St. Louis.
Costume contest.
Yeah, so what's what we got?
Last year, Tom Stephan won the costume contest. He came dressed as a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Nice.
It was pretty much, yeah.
One of those, like, ones that everybody's wearing now?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he was one of the first, though. Oh, yeah. But when okay, so there's a little controversy. We'll close on the controversy, sorry. So he showed up in this thing, and it was by far the best costume there. But then it was like nylon, and he was sweating like Mike Tyson in the library. And he like, so he takes it off like 20 minutes before the costume contest. So we call the finalists up on stage. So there's Tom, someone else. The bartender was dressed like Paul Bunyan, and then my buddy Gavin, who was dressed like Bran of Tarth from Game of Thrones, and he was done up. Like it was perfect because he's a giant, tall British guy with blonde hair, so we made him be Bran of Tarth. And so we get on stage, and Gavin takes his glasses off, and he's blind, basically, without them. And Tom wins the costume contest, but he's not wearing a costume at the time. So Gavin leans over to me in his very proper British voice and says, "I lost to someone who literally wasn't wearing a costume," and walked off stage. And I was like, I was like 14 whiskey and diets in at that point, and we just covered the doors. Yeah, it was a little controversy. So this year, we're going to make it, you have to have the costume on. We're not going to revoke Tom's crown, but this year you have to have the costume on during the costume judging.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Love you, Tom Stephan.
Is the band going to dress up?
Oh, yeah. Last year I was Varys from Game of Thrones. Dave was dressed as some sort of biker. Kyle had a head-to-toe DJ Lance Rock outfit on. And I don't remember what Kevin was dressed as.
Yeah. What? Lance Rock. That's the
DJ adult, Lance Rock, the little kids show.
Orange.
Yeah.
Like big old hat and stuff.
Yep. He had the whole, which I'm sure his kids loved.
Yeah.
But Dave was dressed up
my,
as something.
I think my buddy Chris dressed as that one year for with his kids and stuff. Like,
oh, it's gonna kill.
They were into it.
So this year, I might go as Mr. Clean because I've gone almost completely bald. So I'm gonna buzz it. But I don't know. We'll see. It's gonna be a fun night.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tom Steffen can defend his crown. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We had a Halloween party also last year, mm-hmm. and I hosted, and I went as Macho Man Randy Savage.
FNA.
I wore the purple Macho Man shirt.
Nice.
And I thought about going full on, all the fringe and the cowboy hat, that Macho Man version. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, nah, it's too much. And I was like, so I just went with the t-shirt. I put on a bandana, and I painted on a black beard.
Nice.
And then
did you have a pack of Slim Jims?
Well, being that it was Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and trick or treat and stuff, I was like, well, instead of taking candy, I'm just going to get a bunch of these mini Slim Jims and give away. And so I was just kind of running up on stage in between all the bands and I'd yell stuff, and I did my best Macho Man impression as long as I could before my vocal cords burst. And but I ran up there and I was saying whatever next band, and then I was here, snap into it, and I just launched a handful of mini Slim Jims, and I didn't float them either. I just kind of threw them right
to
their face.
Macho Man them.
Yeah,
so the guy had a cannon. He was a Cardinals farmhand for half a decade.
So and then I every time I went up there, I tried to think of a different line. I was like, this next band is cream of the crop. that kind of stuff. So
was Mean Gene Okerlund there or Scary Sherry?
I wish. I mean,
your wife didn't go with Scary Sherry?
No, my wife didn't go.
Lame sauce.
Yeah. But it would have been really funny if she went as Mean Gene Okerlund. That would have been great. Maybe I'll talk her into that this year.
Why not? She's down.
So I got to think of a new costume for this year. I can't do the Macho Man again, but it was fun. So maybe I'll just do Hogan this year and call everybody brother the whole time.
There you go. Or The Undertaker. You're tall as hell. You could be The Undertaker. There you go, and your wife can come as Paul Bearer and hold a little urn all night.
Right.
That would be good. Or, wait, you could be Hulk, and she could come as Jimmy Hart.
Here you go.
Either way, she's going to have to grow a beard. I hope she can't. So maybe you can find her one at, Johnny Brock's or something like that.
Yep. That's the thing. I couldn't grow a proper beard, so I just put it on with paint and, makeup, but it worked out.
That'll work, hey.
Yeah, so... I'm not that macho of a man, so...
No one's as macho as Macho Man. Yeah. That's his name.
All right. So, rest in peace, Macho Man.
R.I.P., buddy.
If you're listening to this, buddy, we miss you.
Mm-hmm.
But
he had so much left to give.
Yeah.
There have been little macho boys running around.
All right, well... I appreciate you doing this again.
Thanks for coming to the house, man. It's good to have you. It's
a good hang. Great songs. Again, check out the brand new Another Season in Hell Gaslight Sessions EP. Mm-hmm. Available everywhere. You got any copies up the street at the Planet Score?
No, we have the last two records there. I haven't given Joe any of these. Yeah. I actually got to drop a bunch of stuff off for him. But check out Planet Score anyway. My favorite record store.
For sure. Yeah, shout out to Planet Score.
Boom.
There it is. Man, thanks so much.
Thanks.
See you, man.
See
you.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.